Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this fourth Sunday of Advent. You know what that means. Baby Jesus is almost here. It is party time. So be sure to join us for our birthday party for Jesus after worship today. Things are a little slick out there. If you could take the shortcut instead of going all the way around the building, it might be easier for you, unless stairs are a big issue for you. We're working on the salting, but I would rather not have anybody fall or have to call an ambulance or anything. If you could do that for me, thank you. Today was the last day of the Advent Sunday School. We're going to take a hiatus through January because I am going to Guatemala, and I will have some things to share with you when I come back from Guatemala. You'll also notice in today's bulletin the Christmas Joy offering. This is a special offering through the PCUSA that goes towards leadership. Schools, ministers, retired ministers, teachers, students throughout the world. If you would like to donate, you can write a check out to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and put it in that envelope, designate it for Christmas Joy, and then we'll write one big check and send it out to the PCUSA. Saturday's the big day. Christmas Eve. I'm getting stoked. So Christmas Eve worship is at 7 p.m. Come on out and let's get ready for the baby Jesus. And then Christmas Day is a Sunday. So we will have worship on Christmas Day. It'll be at 9:30 instead of 10:30. You can wear your church-appropriate pajamas or your Christmas sweater or, whatever you want. It'll be a very informal, shortened worship service, but we will gather on Christmas Day. Any other announcements that I'm missing?
We need all the gifts today so we can deliver them this week.
Yes. If you have angel tree gifts, they need to be here today. So if you got an angel and you didn't bring a gift today, go home and get it and bring it back real quick. All right. Yeah.
I just have one question to ask. Did you bring yours in, honey? Thank you so very much.
Well, then I didn't need to reprimand you about angels because everybody brought theirs in today. Good job. I'm so proud of you. You are all angels.
Thank you so much.
All right. With that, let us join together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. It's almost time. Time for renewed wonder and awe. Time for gratitude and joy. Time for celebration. Time for loving.
Time for adoration.
Look, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's almost time. Emmanuel, God is with us. Alleluia. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our opening hymn, Love Has Come.
Thank you.
God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, let us embrace this time of confession with honesty and humility. Holy God, we confess that we are busy with many preparations. We are busy with parties, with feasts, with giving. We are busy cleaning house and wrapping presents. We are busy with the stuff of the holiday. And we confess that our busyness may be misplaced, that we spend more time preparing for things than preparing for you. Draw us back to the center, which is you. Remind us that our hearts and souls have work to do, too. Enable us to let go of that which does not matter and to see what does matter. Siblings in Christ, the promise is true. God loves us. God forgives us. God is coming to us even now to save us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Hello? In this season of Advent, we remember that Christ's coming will bring us love. For whose who are forsaken and alone?
Christ will bring us love.
For whose who are angry and hostile?
Christ will bring us love.
For whose who have turned away from personal interaction?
Christ will bring us love.
For whose who are paparas touched by scandal?
Christ will bring us love.
Today we light four candles. The first candle lights the way to hope. The second is for a world at peace. The third is for the joy of anticipation as we wait for the Christ child to be born. Finally, the fourth candle warms our heart with the love Christ will bring us. O Lord God, there is nothing greater than the love. Lord God, there is nothing greater than the love you showed us when you gave your only Son to a world in dire need of his ministry. Help us to accept this love freely into our hearts so we can become more faithful vessels of your glory. We pray this in your name, O God. Amen.
Amen. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Please pray with me. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your presence, bring your peace, bring your light. Comfort the sick, soothe the sorrowful, bind up the wounded, calm our spirits, ease our burdens, mend our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your justice, bring your righteousness, bring your goodness. Reorder our priorities, direct our efforts, strengthen our resolve, break down walls, dismantle oppression, overthrow tyrants. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your love, bring your compassion, bring your mercy. Heal our divisions, seek out the lost, restore the guilt-ridden, widen our embrace, teach us generosity, and show us how to forgive. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your passions, bring your fire, bring your steadfastness, inspire our witness, motivate our mission, energize your church, open our minds, extend our hands, and overcome our lethargy. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your hope, your tenderness, your promise. Build up our common life. Hold us all in our frustrations. Brighten our darkness. Release us, renew us, and redeem us. Come, Lord Jesus. Hear our cries. Hear our whispers. Hear all of our prayers. And with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation to a maid whose name was Mary.
Oh, man, please.
Please be seated. All that we have is the Lord's. All that we may become and receive is in God's hands. For the sake of the joy that is ours when our bonds grow deep with others, let us give generously for the well-being of the world.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world, why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus would come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach this far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? He, with all the rulers in the world, why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. But who am I to second guess what angels have to say? This is such a strange way to save the world, such a strange way, a strange way, strange way to save the world.
gracious God, your faithfulness never fails. Take and use these gifts we offer to further your purpose in the world and to fulfill the promise of the world to come. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
The scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave them the name of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Divine Spirit, surround us with the wisdom of your word, that we might dance in your love and be messengers of your truth in this world. Amen. So, as we're getting ready for the birth of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of attention paid to Mary. Rightfully so. Like, carrying, delivering, caring for a baby, it's a lot of work. Multiplying cells is exhausting, is what I tell my friends who are pregnant. Changes to a woman's body during pregnancy seems uncomfortable at best. And it's really nice, it's kind of nice to have the biblical narrative sort of focus on a woman for once, right? But this is one of those very rare, very rare times where in the biblical narrative, I wish we just had a little more background, a little more thought of like what was going through Joseph's mind. And I usually think of Joseph as this like minor character in the whole scene. You know, he's just sort of like along for the ride, and he seems a little unimportant, maybe even disposable when it comes to the birth of Jesus. You know, his only real contribution to the nativity scene is to sit there in silence. Maybe he finds like a donkey for Mary to ride and, you know, asks around for a place to spend the night. But otherwise, like, why do we even need Joseph? There's been a lot of commentaries and creative writings about Mary. There's been art and music, fiction that delve deeply into what Mary was thinking about this unexpected pregnancy, like what it would have been like for her as a young woman, not yet married. Like, what would have been like for her to navigate her way in society, knowing that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world? But I haven't seen much commentary about what this whole experience was like for Joseph. like Mickey and I had a call earlier this week, and we were racking our brains trying to come up with some songs that focus on Joseph. Like, what was he thinking? What were his worries, his hopes? I have honestly no idea what it's like to be a dad, or even someone who's about to become a parent. So I gave my dad a call, and I asked him, what was it like to be a guy with a surprise baby on the way? I was the surprise. It took a while for my dad to say anything. I think he was worried about making me feel bad, or maybe he thought that I didn't know I was surprised, but come on. He was 16. But after a while, he did say something. And his first word that he said was frightening. When he found out that my mom was pregnant, he knew that his life would be forever changed. He wondered, how do I even care for a child? How is he supposed to care for and support my mom? And he did it the best way that he knew how. Would he be able to afford diapers and food and clothes? Where are we gonna live? Would he be able to keep us safe? In no way am I trying to say that my dad is Joseph or that I am the product of a miraculous conception. There has never been a question that my dad is my biological father. And, you know, the late 1970s of the United States is nowhere near the context of first century Palestine. An unexpected pregnancy was certainly scandalous in both times and places. But, you know, Mary's pregnancy probably wouldn't have been seen as all that shameful. Actually, even to outsiders, it may not have even seemed all that extraordinary. And that's because she and Joseph were betrothed. Betrothal was already a legally binding arrangement. Like, for all intents and purposes, the couple was already married. They just hadn't had the ceremony yet. So technically, intimacy between them wouldn't have violated any law or cultural norm. Pregnancy before the wedding ceremony wasn't actually that big of a deal. The issue here was that Joseph knew he was not the father. The problem wasn't that Mary was pregnant, but that Joseph thought that she had committed adultery. The scripture tells us that Joseph is a righteous man who faithfully follows the law. And according to the law at that time, Joseph not only has the right to divorce Mary, but he can bring her before the courts, where she would most certainly be declared guilty of a capital offense. You can forget the social stigma, the whispers behind her back. Mary would have received the death penalty for adultery. So Joseph's in a bit of a quandary here. The righteous decision, the legally required action, is to divorce her. But he chooses against the one thing that the law encourages. He chooses against publicly humiliating Mary and bringing her to the courts. Joseph believes in following the religious laws, but he also has compassion for this woman that he still loves. So contrary to the behavior of one who lives by the law, Joseph decides that he's not going to go by the letter of the law. He's choosing compassion. He decides to divorce Mary quietly. He chose the law of love even before the angel spoke to him. And the angel's message to Joseph: don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife. That was followed by the command that he, Joseph, should bestow the name Emmanuel on the child. Joseph should accept the child as his very own and love him. When Joseph names him, Jesus is officially adopted in, like legally adopted into the Davidic line, and that legally makes him one of the sons of David, and that fulfills the messianic prophecy. You know, the decisions that we make in our lives are not always easy. The righteous path is not always clear. The world that we live in is not black and white. It's filled with thousands of shades of gray and ochre and brown and ecru. And in this difficult moral situation, Joseph hears the voice of God. That angel in the dream comes to him. And in this invitation to trust God, Joseph discovers an even greater righteousness. The greater righteousness is seeking grace and love that goes beyond the law. So just like Joseph, we are also sometimes torn between adherence to secular and religious laws and Jesus' demand to love. There are a lot of Christians in the world who claim to accept the Bible as the norm for their faith and their practice. And they scour the Bible to find the perfect passage that tells them exactly what is and is not allowed. Yet their vitriolic words and their violent actions seem contrary to the example of Christ's love. They love the law, but they forget about the law of love. I think in some ways this passage is giving us a little glimpse towards the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's showing Joseph living into righteousness. You know, he's being committed to justice in a way that respects both the law of the Bible and God's command to love. When love seems to violate the law, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Joseph's decision to obey the unexpected command of God shows that he is already living into the heart of the law and not to its letter. Faced with a difficult moral situation, he attends to the voice of God. He's willing to set aside previous understanding of the law in favor of this new word from a living and saving God. Mary is rightfully revered as the mother of Christ. And it is so very refreshing to see attention brought to the faithfulness and righteousness of women in the Bible. But I'm also thankful to see Joseph, a righteous man who took the time to think deeply about God's laws and listen for God's direction. So through Joseph's discernment, we not only have Jesus surrounded by family and love and support, we also have an example of what truly following God's law looks like. The law's goal is not about punishment. It's about caring for one another. It's about showing love to God and to each other. Joseph shows us that the law of God is the law of love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our closing hymn, Emmanuel. Before we head out to a party, let me offer you a blessing. You are God's beloved. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Christ's compassion shines forth in what you do. Live as those who know and have experienced God's goodness. Now, let the face of God shine upon you and bless you and save you from all doubt and danger through Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen.